You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Dose of Leadership podcast, the show that brings you inspiring and educational interviews with today's most relevant and motivating leaders. Each episode is dedicated to highlight real-life leadership and influence experts who dedicate their lives to the pursuit of the truth, common sense, and courageous leadership. And now, here's your host, Richard Ryerson.
Hey, welcome to Dose of Leadership. So happy you're tuning in the show. Got my old friend Devin Walker on the show. Devin's been on the show before. We had a couple of fireside chats a couple years ago. You can check them out. Our earlier episodes where me and him just kind of riff on life, love, and leadership. And he's a good friend. Used to live here in my hometown, and now he moved to Vegas, but we still keep in touch. He's the definition of a serial entrepreneur. He's passionate about mentoring, coaching, and volunteering his time and resources to help small businesses, inventors, and entrepreneurs realize their dreams. He's an extreme altruist, a philanthropist. In 2002, he conceived and launched PrintPop.com. It's a first-to-market internet company providing art prints to consumers through digital uploads. He's an active angel investor and has invested in or partnered in over two dozen startups. And he's brought many products from idea to market that have been licensed to various companies and has given his expertise and vision to companies as diverse as MTV, Warner Brothers, Harley-Davidson, and the public broadcasting system. He's got a new book out, and that's why he came on the show. It's called Gangsterpreneur. And I love the title. It gets your attention. And Devin peels back the curtain and reveals a unique and critical mindset of success. And he's highlighting the positive aspects of the gangster culture. So it's interesting, right? And he focuses on how they can, you know, use those powers for good, those attributes of loyalty, risk-taking, leadership, and even love. He shows us that the requirements to make it in the unforgiving world of entrepreneurship or life in general, you can use some of those gangsta attributes for the positive. Again, it's using those forces for good instead of evil. Capturing the rebellious spirit of some of the world's most famous gangsters, the book is a must-read. It's a great book for those of us who are looking to make a dent in the world and chart our own course. And I highly recommend that you check the book out. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation with my good friend, Devin. All right, this show is brought to you by my Legacy Leader Blueprint course. You hear me talk about it all the time, but it's a perfect course to introduce, anyway, your team into the world of leadership, to get that culture of leadership, to plant those seeds. Check out doseofleadership.com. Click on the Legacy Leader Blueprint menu item. It's 20 videos broken up into four modules, five videos per module. And in between each module, you'll get live interaction coaching, four 1.5 hour sessions live with me, where we cement some of the leadership attributes presented in the material. Leadership fundamentals, leading yourself, leading others, and advanced leadership topics. It's a perfect team building exercise that does not disrupt your busy schedule. It does not break the bank. $350 a seat. You can learn more at doseofleadership.com and click on the Legacy Leader Blueprint menu item. All right. Thanks for being a fan of the show. And here's my great conversation with my good friend, Devin Walker. Well, Devin, it's so good to have you back on Dose of Leadership. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good to hear from you. I'm glad to be talking to you from sunny Las Vegas.
Yeah. You're no stranger to the show. You've been here a few times. A couple of years ago, we recorded a couple fireside chats where we talked about life and leadership and love. And I always get some good responses every now and then. Even just a few weeks ago, I got an email talking about how they loved our fireside chats. So welcome back. It's so good to hear from you.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
You come back on the show because you wrote a new book. I mean, a couple of years ago, you were talking about this with me about wanting to write this book, and it's finally out. It's called Gangsterpreneur, a very provocative and interesting title. So tell me about the genesis of the book. What's it all about?
Well, the Gangsterpreneur is finally out. It took a little over a year and a half or so to get it written and get it to the publisher and out and finished, and the artwork and stuff finished. But it, you know, it's the convergence of a few different things that had happened in my life. Obviously, you know, entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs are very dear to my heart. And, you know, I spent many, many years mentoring, coaching, doing anything I could, consulting for to help these entrepreneurs start their businesses and grow their businesses. And I've worked with probably over 150 or so businesses over the past several years. So that was the genesis, I guess, is that that's what I love doing. Along that journey, along that path, at one point, I was asked to speak out at Lansing Prison, the big prison in Kansas, Lansing. And I went out, and the warden had the idea for me to speak about success. He had seen me speak at a small business development center prior to this, and thought that I would connect with the guys, and you know, and they'd get a lot of takeaway from it. I'm younger and hipper, and I speak a lot more dynamically, and talk right to them. I drop a lot of F-bombs. He just thought it would go over really well. So I went out to Lansing and spoke for about an hour and a half about success and about being success and what my path was to building my company and how great it was to be successful, I guess. And, you know, I did that probably three times. He had me come back a couple of other times over the course of, about 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. It must have been about an hour after I left the prison the last time. Something just connected in my head. And I said, you know what? I picked up the phone. I called the warden while I was driving home. And I told him, I said, you know, it's one thing for me to go out there and just talk about me and how it doesn't suck to be me and how great success is. And he, you know, and he said, yeah, he said, dude, he said the inmates walk around the yard quoting you. And I thought it was pretty funny, but I said, you know, the thing is, something tells me that what needs to happen here is these guys need to have access to me. They need to be able to ask questions. And he said, yeah, well, what do you have in mind? And I said, I don't know yet. Let me mold this around a little bit and get back to you. And by the time I had gotten home, I had the pretty much everything in place. I mean, it wasn't really a program, and I didn't really have, you know, a curriculum. But I called him back and I said, look, why don't we do this? Why don't I come out there on a semi-regular basis, as often as my schedule will allow me to, and I will sit with about 10 to 15 guys, and we will mentor these guys to become entrepreneurs when they get out. I'll walk them through the whole ideation, you know, coming up with their ideas, what marketing looks like, where to get funding, you know, all the nuts and bolts of being an entrepreneur, so that when they do walk out of those gates after their 2 year, 3 year, whatever it is, time, that they've got a plan in hand, that someone has sat down with them and believed in them, you know, and said, yeah, that's going to work. That's a good idea, because they don't have that and they've never had that. And that's why they're in the situation they're in. Now, let me say that the guys that I've worked with, obviously it wouldn't do any good to work with people that are in there for life, that, you know, they just serve no purpose. But these guys are guys that I sit with have less than 2 years left. Mm-hmm. And most of those people have done something stupid, really. That's the bottom line. They're not hardened criminals. They've just done dumb things.
Right. So is the idea behind Gangsterpreneur, what I'm hearing from you is that, you wrote the book Gangsterpreneur, and I think the original idea was to take the attributes that we tend to see as negative of and you turn them into a positive, i.e. the loyalty of being in a gang, the ambition that is an undercurrent of being in a gang, the associations that come from the back alleys, and in your mind, you can actually take those seemingly seedy aspects and you can kind of flip them on its head and say, hey, these are actually positive attributes that can help you run a successful business. Now you go into this prison and you talk to these guys and it resonates with them, and maybe they're seeing their, I guess, seedy elements as a positive. Am I hitting that on the head? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing from you.
You're close. You jumped a little bit ahead. I hadn't read the book when I was going into the prisons yet. That was
okay.
Part of the foundation of where the book came from. You know, I would see these guys, and I would help them basically have a clearer path for a couple of reasons. You know, there were a couple of reasons I thought this was a good idea. Number one, they're just not going to get jobs, especially 10 years ago when they get out. It's not going to happen. You know, it's hard enough for you and I to get jobs out here, let alone those guys. It's just not going to happen. So I thought, you know, turning them into entrepreneurs is going to be their way out, their ticket. It's going to be basically the only thing they can do. Number two, and it might sound like a selfish reason, but they're going to get out and they're going to become our neighbors, my neighbor, your neighbor. And I would much, much rather my neighbor was pursuing a coffee shop or a landscaping business or whatever got him anything but what got him there in the first place. So those were the reasons. You know, and the other reason is you've known me for years now, not just an advocate or an ambassador. I am very passionate about entrepreneurship. You know, this country was built by entrepreneurs, whether it's J.P. Morgan or Cornelius Vanderbilt, whoever it was, Steve Jobs, go down the list. And I honestly believe that if we want to change society and change things and change the country, we need to create more entrepreneurs. And so these two things were converging at the same time. So those things had happened. I hadn't written the book yet, and those things had happened. I started recognizing them. Then I had a pancreatic attack, and I was in the hospital for almost a month. While I was there, because I don't watch TV, I don't have cable TV or anything at my house. But while I was laying in bed on morphine, I caught a lot of television, and I had caught a show. Where they highlighted different gangs each episode, whether it was Hell's Angels, whether it was the Crips, whether it was Yakuza, whoever it was, different level gangs, Italian Mafia, and they would go into everything about these gangs. And I would lay in my bed and I'd watch this, and I recognized right away that every single thing that they were talking about were entrepreneurial traits, everything. Whether it was marketing or branding or, you know, creating a brand, whether it was product, leadership, chain of command. I mean, all of these things were so entrepreneurial. Having been an entrepreneur my entire life, I recognized them right away. And I thought, you know, the only difference between those guys and me is I'm not going to go to jail because I'm not applying those skills in an illegal way. And I will probably live longer. So those three things all coming together, my experience with Lansing Prison, the television show that I had caught, and my desire to create more entrepreneurs all coming together, I just thought, you know what? I need to write a book. I'd been doing a lot of public speaking prior to that, and people have been asking me for a book. Do you have a book? Do you have a book? So everything kind of came together, and that was the genesis, I guess, you know, of Gangstapreneur.
I love it. It's taking, and again, the title gets people's attention. I suppose one could probably think, oh, you're trying to glamorize the gangster lifestyle, but you're saying, no, look, man, look, the only thing that separates us is I'm using my powers for good, you're using it for evil. And I think that's a great kind of perspective change, particularly for people who all they've known is kind of using them for evil. And you say, all you need to do, man, is change your perspective, flip it on its head, and you can be a rock star in the real world, right? I mean, that's kind of how I see it.
That's exactly what the desire is. You know, everybody that writes a book, you kind of have a hope of what it's going to do and who it's going to reach. And, you know, I have two audiences that I want this book to reach. It's to the people that only see darkness around them and don't realize that they actually do possess the skills, whether it's the kids or whether it's the guys that have been doing it for a couple of years, a few years, however long. that can, we can turn a light bulb on it. They can see that they actually have legit skills that can create sustainable success, that can change their lives. And on the other side of that, I'm hoping that people like me and like you will start to be able to recognize that these guys aren't throwaways.
Right.
You know, that they actually can be hired, that they actually can have the skills to go on and are worth the time, because they do have drive. They do have determination. If they want to make something happen, they can make it happen. And motivation might be one of the worst things to plague entrepreneurs. You know, we do have a hard time self-motivating, but you know, these guys will wake up in South Central LA with nothing, and by noon have enough money to take, you know, to get whatever it is they need to get. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that the way they're going about it and the what they're doing is not desirable, let's just say, or illegal. But what the point is, they have the desire to do it and the drive to do it. And if they can just flip that and see a different perspective and focus that elsewhere, they can be incredibly successful.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And it's almost like, you know, the older I get, and the more, as I have two daughters in college now, and it's almost like I'm at the point myself where this whole kind of notion that you and I were brought up, and I think it's completely a dying kind of sham. I think when you and I were of college age, in the mid to late 80s, it was still kind of viable, but people are still bought into the fact that to be successful in this country, by and large, the public seems to believe that you have to do that traditional route of getting that degree and everything else. And you're right. When I've met so many people who have, from this show and through our circles, who have had very rough lives, who've even been in prison, and they've flipped that energy on its head. I mean, we even look in the public eye. I mean, look at guys like Sean Combs and Jay-Z and everything else. I mean, these are some people that have some great entrepreneurial skills. So I see what you're saying, and like some of these famous notorious gangsters were really just Class A entrepreneurs, just using that energy in the wrong way.
That's right. And they didn't, you know, you hear the term thrown around all the time, he got out of the streets or got out of the ghetto or whatever. You know, he didn't just get out. He didn't just get a bus ticket and it changed his whole life. What he did is he changed his perspective. He changed his hustle. You know, Sean Combs is a great example. For those listening that don't know who that is, I'm talking about P. Diddy or Puffy. You know, Sean delivered newspapers for a long time when he was a kid. And what he would do is you had to be, I think, 16, and he was 13, and he couldn't have his own route. So what he'd do is he'd go to the kid that had the route, and he'd say, look, give me 10% of what you're going to collect, and I'll deliver the papers. And he would do that route after route after route till he owned all the routes, you know?
Right.
Instead of running around and trying to sell drugs that are just going to end up hurting him, hurting his family, hurting the system, hurting society, you know, he said, okay, let me see how I can apply these skills that I have to being successful.
Right. You know, it's almost like people are bought into this notion that there's no way out except of that nefarious route. There's no shot. But it seems to me, I think this is probably the best time to be alive on the planet. I've said it on the show many times in the last 5 years. I do think the opportunity is ripe. If there's any opportunity or time in the history of the planet to where you can make something of yourself, you can make a significant change and add significant value, I think it's now. What do you think?
I agree 100%. There are no limits, and the rules, you know, the people that are growing up now have seen Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, all of these billionaires, not multimillionaires, billionaires come up from the garage, come up, you know, and then you see the guys that came up from the quote unquote streets, the Sean Combs, the Russell Simmons, Ryan Blair, you know, you see these other guys that are just incredibly, incredibly successful, that what they did is they recognized and changed their perspective and changed their direction. And that's what it takes. You're not trapped. No one is trapped anywhere.
I think the thing that gets lost, though, is the amount of how difficult. I mean, it's possible, but there's a tremendous amount of discipline and work involved. And I think that's where some people would argue that, well, the criminal element doesn't deploy discipline and hard work, but it's actually the successful gangsters are some of the hardest working and more disciplined, entrepreneurs out there, right? I mean, if you look at some of these examples of the ones who really were successful at what they did.
Richard, I could argue, and I don't think it would be a weak argument, that over history, gangstapreneurs are some of the most successful entrepreneurs we've ever seen. You know, let's just take the Italian mafia. I mean, that is an incredible. If we go through the numbers, we can't. It's unimaginable how long the longevity and the amount of revenue that organization has generated. And then you can look at other organizations, and you can look at their brand strength. I mean, I can go to any country and show the Hell's Angels jacket, and everybody will recognize it. And that's a hell of a brand, you know? And I mean, I really think that this perspective shift is vital.
I agree with you, but then playing devil's advocate, but couldn't you argue and say, well, yeah, those brands were so successful, like the Italian mafia, but they also used a lot of fear and intimidation and death to get to their means. And they also, their product was also illegal vices, which is almost an easier sell. What do you say to those two aspects of the gangsterpreneur life, you know, looking at the gangsterpreneurs?
Well, remember what I said, Richard. I recognize that what these guys are doing isn't the right way to go about it.
Right.
I'm talking about the motivation behind the willingness to do it.
Right.
You know, it's the Italian mafia's fear and intimidation. That translates directly into Apple marketing, neon color glow pictures, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. whatever the tactic is, you have to have that tactic, and you have to recognize it, and you have to know how to use it.
Right.
That's what, it's not the actual acts. I get that criminals and gangsters and gangsters do things in a less than desirable way.
Right.
Almost always. But where we're coming at with this, with the book and the perspective change, is that they have the tools and the skills to also apply those
right.
to be successfully, because that's how I'm doing it.
Exactly.
I apply my skills, the same skills they do, a different way. My branding isn't graffiti on the side of walls. My branding is done in Photoshop and placed in ads and so on and so on. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep. And you're right. And then, and that kind of mindset of being ruthless, intimidating, it's using the powers for good instead of evil, because it does take boldness, kind of a ruthlessness to stand up there and get your product known, get to be placed, to stand up there with confidence and say, there is no one better than me. You know what I mean? There's no one better than me. And to stand up there with that kind of courageous candor, I guess, right? But again, what are you using your powers for? For good or for evil?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love the idea. I love the concept. It'll be interesting to see, particularly as you start working with some of these inmates who are close to getting out. What is the plan for that? That is very intriguing. Is there any ideas of documenting this, of kind of, it seemed like it'd be a lot of effort and a lot of resources to kind of to see that, but it would be interesting to see almost like in a reality type TV show or something that to chronicle some of these inmates who are on the verge of getting out and seeing what happens to them.
Actually, Richard, I'm actually in talks right now with Smart Femme TV, their host on the C-Suite Network, on Roku, Google TV, and so on.
Right.
About exactly that, about going around like a reality show, kind of a Shark Tank meets Sons of Anarchy, or
yeah.
a Shark Tank meets Orange is the New Black kind of a thing. So, yes, to answer your question, there is a bigger picture here. You know, originally I had wrestled with the idea of being branded as the gangstapreneur because I was like, well, I've never stepped in a jail. I don't know any, never lived on the streets. But if you take it from a, like the prophet type of angle, I'm the guy that takes gangsters and turns them into entrepreneurs. And so I've embraced that. So, yeah, there's a lot on the table. I hope to speak more on this topic. The TV show is being developed right now, and just it's in its infancy. So that's happening, and we'll see where that goes. I did want to mention that Lydia Harris wrote the foreword for the book. Those that don't know who Lydia Harris is, she co-founded Death Row Records with Suge Knight.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yep. She's the real Cookie Lion from. Empire.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Lydia is who that character was based on. So she did write the foreword for the book and that's it. There's a lot of things happening. You can order it right now. It's available on Amazon, and on Barnes and Noble. The, ebook is available for Kindle. And that's it. You know, I think it's a great message. Like I said, I really, really firmly believe that creating more entrepreneurs can change everything.
Yeah, and I would also say, too, the book is really, I mean, even for myself, if I have a business or I'm interested in starting the business, it is a book that tells me how to market, design, sell, distribute, talks about leadership, and there's a little bit of everything in the book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, it's for a lot of audiences. It's a great entrepreneur book. It's not just about gangs. There's everything that needs to be talked about is talked about in there. I do bring in the fact that, hey, this is how these guys are applying this skill that we all need to be using, whatever it is, leadership, you know, loyalty, like you said. You know, that's another thing I would argue, and it's in the book, is, you know, those are some of the most loyal, quote unquote, employees that you could ever have. I mean, you know, they're blood in, blood out, you know,
right.
Kind of a thing. I mean, the whole Godfather saga was around loyalty.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on and on and on, whether it's Yakuza cutting their fingers off, you know, and I mean, these guys understand loyalty.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of applying that towards, you know, the way we do.
Well, I think it's a great idea. Like I said, I remember you and I talking about this a couple of years ago. I thought it was an intriguing idea. What's even more fun is to see how, now that you've written it, it's kind of taking on, or at least it's feeding a different aspect that you 2 years ago had no idea that it would be going this direction. So I think that's the fun part of it. Number one, it's a business book. It's a leadership book. It's an entrepreneurship book. But it seems like it could be a catalyst for giving people second chances. And that's something that originally you weren't thinking about. So that's what's fun and exciting to me.
Absolutely. It amazes me that these new things present themselves. You know what, Richard, I want to send you 5 books that you can kind of decide how to give them out. And if you want to have people do if you want to have a contest or something, and I'll have them all signed and I'll send those to you.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay. And other than that, like I said, they're available now, and I'm hoping to be able to get out. I'd like to get to some colleges or inner city schools or wherever, you know, that this message could be, should be conveyed.
I agree. And, you know, David, I'm a big fan of yours, obviously, and you've been a great friend over the past few years. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. How can people get in touch with you to get in contact with you for speaking, for coaching, for training, and also about your book? How can people get in touch with you?
All of it is on devinwalker.com, devinwalker.com. The book's there. There's a gangsterpreneur website being put up right now, but it's already there on devinwalker.com. you're able to reach me. You're able to book me. Everything is there.
Devin, I appreciate it. Again, thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for being a part of the Dose of Leadership tribe.
Thank you, Richard. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Go to richardryerson.com or doseofleadership.com and fill out the contact page and reach out to me. Let me know where you're at your leadership journey. Also, if you want access to my brand new online leadership course to help become a better leader, go to legacyleaderblueprint.com. Fill out your email and you gain access to a free 12-minute video that will reveal the top secrets of leadership and also show you how you can gain access, exclusive access, to my online leadership course. That's legacyleaderblueprint.com. Hope to see you on the inside. Thanks for tuning into the show.
Ladies, at Essentia Health, you're not just a patient. You're a partner in your healthcare journey. We'll get to the heart of your health questions, even the ones you're embarrassed to ask. We'll find solutions to fit your unique needs and lifestyle, because here, we're in it together. Feel confident in your care and in yourself. Schedule a women's health appointment with an Essentia Health provider today. Click the banner to learn more.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree